Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Eva Venari, the founder of the Elevate Institute, your host for the segment of Owning Your Health, where we explore alternative ways to be more consciously aware of truly owning what it takes to take care of your body and at work with today's health thought leaders. Our topic today is Fitting Fitness In, how to lead as a sexy, confident, and powerful woman. I'm there. I so want to be a part of that conversation. So as our leading lady today is Ana Nieto, and she's offering mindful online workouts. The transformational health mentor and coach, that's what she is. And her business model incorporates more than personal training. It's geared towards helping you transform not only how you look and feel, but also to transform how you relate to life itself. She strongly believes that balanced energy is the key to physical and spiritual success. I love that. Good afternoon, Ana. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much, Eva, for having me. It's a pleasure.
So glad to have you. And I'm really interested in hearing more about this mindful online workout. Give us all an insight into what that is, and tag on to it. What is the difference between the mindful workout and any others we might find out there?
Yes, so the mindful workout, this is an online workout, right? And I was blessed that I've been doing this for a few years, and before it was trendy, unfortunately now with the circumstances that we've been living, right, in the last few months. So these are workouts that I facilitate online. I've been doing this for about 7 years, where I meet with people on Zoom, and we get a pretty personalized workout as we do in person, or I also have about 10 online classes now that people can join at different times during the day. And I train people all over the world around right now in Australia, Europe, all around the country. So it's very, very exciting to kind of unite people from all different places to work out together. And the mindfulness of it, that piece came because for a couple of reasons. One is because my training in fitness, going back 20 years ago, I trained to be what is called a super slow trainer. And this method of training focuses on the safety and the efficiency of the workouts by eliminating momentum, moving very slowly, and having the muscles do all the work. So that was the beginning of it, which actually forces you to focus and be more conscious and more mindful of what you are doing during the exercise. And as I kind of grew, developed a little bit more also my spirituality, I felt like calling them mindful and helping people connect deeper with their body. And I'm a firm believer that if you connect deeper with your body and you want to connect spiritually higher, you actually can enhance that a lot by feeling stronger and more connected physically. You can do that. So that's the meaning behind it. And I love them. I'm very passionate about doing this right now, working with three trainers at the moment. We have strength trainers workouts. We have Pilates. And we also offer yoga. And, just growing, offering more classes every time. Yeah.
All of this, of course, brings up a ton of little questions for me. And I'm thinking people are definitely getting the Zoom butts, is how I've coined it. We're sitting around in front of our computers and having our meetings over Zoom. So
As it's more
and more available, and individuals are having to meet this way, especially during the COVID, even while we're opening up, people are just used to working from Zoom. Have you noticed any pitfalls, any things around using technology that has made it either more difficult or easier to deliver the exercises?
Yes, I mean, I think it's been getting easier lately. You know, I'll be honest with you, I'm not a technology crazy person. But the motto for me last year was I love technology, because I really wanted to get this piece of my business that I knew needed to be automatized. And, you know, it's technology based when you're working online. So I really wanted to get my feet on the ground with this and become a bit more proficient in what I was doing. And I did. And I feel like overall, technology is helping us now to have this connection, you know, all the different portals that we use to be connected, make it very real, make it very personalized in a lot of ways. It's almost like you are with the same person in the same room, right? Like you mentioned, we have these Zoom calls all the time now that we are used to. And I also feel that people are creating that connection these days. And even though, you know, some of us are going out and starting, you know, depending where you live more or less, some people are still not going out as much if they have some difficulty or if they have some disease that prevents them from feeling comfortable yet outdoors, right? So having this technology, I think, has been very, very helpful to a lot of people. And for me, since March or so, I have to say a lot of people have gravitated to the company and join our classes, referred by other friends or just because they heard of it before and at the time where gyms were closed and people could not access any kind of workout, this was a very helpful way for them to keep moving. And the other thing that I would like to say about this is that the difference between what we do and a video is that we are there with you 100% of the time. So it's not like you're going to put a video and you can, you know, sit down. I saw this Instagram post that was really funny because you see the trainer doing a video, the person watching and eating potato chips at the same time while sitting in the sofa, right? And I share that because I thought it was very funny. And I think it happens sometimes that the fact that you have a video doesn't mean that you're going to actually work out. And some people have that accountability to themselves, but most of us really don't. And I include myself because I train with somebody weekly, because I also need to have that appointment. So we are there with our clients constantly during our workouts. We correct the form. We don't allow more than 12 people on each room, so we can have a pretty precise idea of what everybody's doing and be able to give feedback. And privately, obviously, you get the whole trainer for yourself, right? But on a group class, you still get a very, very good feedback from the trainer and correction form if necessary. Yeah.
So I'm curious, do people get on the group Zoom calls, do people get a little self-conscious working out in front of each other, or did they all see each other?
That's funny. It's a question that some people ask me before they start training, right? And what I've been told by my clients is that when you get in the room, yeah, you come to the camera and you say hello and welcome, see how everybody's doing, if they have any issues for the day, and we connect for a few minutes. But then once everybody sets up in the room and goes back, because you need to have a distance of about 8 to 10 feet, right, from the camera in order to be able to see you standing or lying down, everybody gets their equipment, gets into the workout, and they are not really looking at what other people are doing. They become pretty small. Most of the people make the picture of the trainer the larger one so they can see that one as we demonstrate and they can follow us. And they're not really engaged with what other people are doing or looking at it. Although what I've been told is that the difference between working privately and with the group that a lot of people enjoy is that you can feel the energy of other people being in the class, right, with you. It's not just you, but there's other people that are suffering just like yourself. And that that can really help people to stay motivated and continue doing the workout without stopping. So I've been told that that's the case, that most people don't really see anyone. So if you're so confused, it's actually not something that I will worry about. At the end, everybody comes again to the camera, you know, if people have questions, and we just kind of say a nice goodbye and see you in the next class. So, yeah, that's a great question. And no, it's more the energy that actually most people report that they enjoy than the self-consciousness. Yeah.
Usually the saying goes, when we cry alone, when we laugh together. But I think this if we're all suffering together, then that's good too.
Exactly. Yeah. I always like to say that we are going to have fun. And my clients know by now that my definition of fun might not be what their kind of fun is. So I know suffering is a very strong word. Let's make it fun. Everybody having fun together, okay?
Yep. Good deal. Well, like right now, this seems, like you said, the business is picking up. People are home. They're looking for alternatives to gyms. So how do you foresee business for you changing as people start to go back to the office place?
Yeah, good question. So I was just talking to one of our trainers, our yoga instructor today, this morning, we were having a conversation about that. And I think it's going to be a little bit of both, right? I mean, I think there's people that, yes, are going back to work, and they either have to or they are more comfortable with that idea. And I think in a way there's a lot of people that are getting more used to working virtually and that they enjoy that. Most of the women that I work with, and I say women, I work also with some very special men, as I like to call them, because they are wonderful men that understand this concept. But my business has been mostly women for a lot of years, and most of them either work from home or have a business that allows them that flexibility. They have an office where they can work from. A lot of them travel, which this is very convenient for them, because even when they travel, they can actually still work with me. And then the fact that we have classes very early in the morning, in the evening, and times that people are outside of work, I think makes it also easier for people to continue. And I also think that this is a technique that most people are not familiar with. Once they try it, they really enjoy it, and the chances of continuing are going to be pretty high. I also think that for people that enjoy the gym environment and are looking for more of that interaction in person or more of the other type of workouts that we don't offer as much, are going to, you know, come back to the gyms and do that as well. So, but I feel very positive about the way my business has been growing. We offer so many programs right now and different options that this for any person that wants to work out, you know, from starting out one workout a week to working privately, you know, 2 or 3 times a week and doing some group classes. So I think there's room for everybody, you know, and the virtual training, I think, is going to continue growing. That's my guess, and that's what I think. And one more thing I would like to add to this is that I feel that people have been in such a internal, deep, and still we are, right, reassessing.
Yes.
Where we are in life, what we're doing with our health, how we want to go about life. And I think that the fact that our goal as a group of trainers is to help people with that deeper connection that goes beyond physically and how you look, I think that is going to be also a big attraction to, you know, the programs and offerings that we have and that other people have, you know, in our industry. I think that's the trend of fitness right now. It's more than just how you look, but really how you feel and what is that in regards to your purpose in life.
Yeah, and I love that part of what, you know, because we've had conversations prior to this one, but I want to bring everybody into it. Like your practice, I want to really talk about this. It's like how to get down to the nitty-gritty of the unhealthy habits, the things that keep us from doing the workouts. And then the result can be this internal conversation of beating yourself up. So what have you found as a really good way to get beyond both of those things, the bad or the unhealthy habits and addictions, you know, and beating ourselves up over being in that place? How do you help people through that?
Yeah, that's one of my passions. And the reason why is because I just struggle with that, right? I think we all have one or two addictions there that we either are aware of or not, or that we want to admit or not. And sometimes can be just food related, right? Like ice cream or chocolate. Sometimes can be drink related, right? Like maybe wine at night. Sometimes can be technology related. Like we cannot get away from our phone. I mean, I think addictions can be addictions to people as well. I think addictions come in many different ways and forms. The ones obviously that I focus mostly are going to be addictions to food and drinking. And I think that what I've come up with in the years of working with people and working on myself as well, in order to help people in a way. I think we all have a purpose, and that's been my theme, right? It's been that you have to first have the awareness, as I said, always the first step, but then sort of plan what is the new person, or think about what is the new person that you want to create, right, within yourself. If you're not happy, obviously, if you're aware that what you're doing with your life and the addictions and the aha's that are taking you away from the healthiest person that you want to be, how can you imagine yourself to be differently? Once you see that and you have that plan and you have that goal, I think it takes just a small step moving forward. And I'm sure you've heard this a million times, but I really think it's one of the keys. Small changes over time make a big difference than just trying to rearrange yourself completely, because that never works, right? Always fails. One book that I've read recently that is very much in line with what I've been doing in the past few years with clients, and that kind of summarizes everything beautifully, is called Atomic Habits by James Clear. And my mentor and coach recommended to me. And I strongly recommend it to people that are looking for a way to get out of those patterns. And one of the things that I think he points out that is very important is rewarding yourself, finding some kind of reward to when you are thinking about changing a habit that is unhealthy to one that is healthy. And that's another big point. And I think we cannot just stop something, because when we say no to something, there's always going to be this part of us that, because you're feeling so controlled, right, you're actually going to want to do it more. So I think it's just changing one habit for another, and then rewarding yourself when you're actually able to do that. He talks about different parts in creating new habits that I think are very, very key in order to make those changes. And it's just creating a new lifestyle, as opposed to thinking about a short-term period, right, that you want a goal and you want to reach it. But this is the new you that you want to create for the rest of your life. And how are you going to do that? It's going to be by changing those habits, by going in different directions, but making sure that that direction is the one that is always going to be rewarding for you at the end, because otherwise it just doesn't happen. If it's not satisfying enough, it's really not going to happen. And one more thing about this is the planning phase. So just to give you an example, you know, a few years ago, I realized that, you know, I was drinking a little bit more than I should have. And it was kind of ironic, because I was in health and wellness and I was teaching people how to be healthy. And here I was, you know, having hangovers often and just not feeling very well. So
right.
I decided that I was going to create a plan for myself on drinking a little less. And I brought it down and I said, all right, so I'm going to do this, you know, one drink a day, I think I was, for a period of time. And I broke my plan. All right, well, let's do it again. So I did another plan.
Do it again.
That I
start over.
Do it again.
Yeah.
Start over.
Yep.
And then that didn't work either. And then I said, all right, let me just do it again. And then it actually worked. And I can tell you that for the past few years, I have not had a single hangover, and I have not drank more wine than I've wanted any single night. And it is because I decided I want to be that person that doesn't have hangovers. And for me now, it's more rewarding not to have them than have them. And this is my example. You know, for those people, can be numerous things, right? But I just want to share mine, because that's where I'm coming from. I'm coming from the place that I struggle just like everybody else. And I'm always growing in that direction, you know, of being who I want to be. So I know that was a long-winded answer, but you can tell I'm very passionate about this. So,
exactly, and you are so right about, we all do struggle with this. I remember going to what's called the Culver Stairs, where close to where I mm-hmm. live. It's basically cement blocks that create a stairs that goes up the side of the mountain, and everybody knows that it's, rather than trailhead here in the middle of LA, you have stairs on a hill, and so people go to it. And I went with a friend. And we were done, and she's like, oh, I'm so excited. I'm so glad we did this. We went all the way up to the top, and we did another trail and came back down. She goes, I'm going to go to McDonald's and reward myself with a milkshake. So to me, it's, that's absurd, and it's funny. And I'm like, we just did all that hard work. Why would you do that? So my question to you is there, is there, you know, my question, is there a, is that wrong? Or can we do that? Like, what's the best way to reward ourselves?
I love it. I love it, Iva. That was the best example you could ever give me. So I try to look at things in the terms of not being good or bad. I'm learning lately to be a little bit more about the curiosity of that, because I feel like when we put things in the terms of good or bad, again, it becomes a little bit too controlling of what we can do or not, if that makes sense. So
yes.
Is it good? Well, I wouldn't do it for myself, because like you said, then the whole work of like being healthy and trying to get to that place, you know, that you want to, perhaps, you know, your friend wants to lose weight, right? Or just,
yes,
just be in that, in
right,
that other place. So that's definitely not going to help, because whatever she did on the hike, now she's going to put like, you know, more extra calories than that. So probably won't be my my suggestion to a client. If I was working with your friend, would I probably tell her, okay, is there any other reward that you can think of that actually supports your goals? And maybe make her think in that way, that you can have other choices and perhaps try them. And another thing that I know works extremely well with people, and I have had this feedback, is when I facilitate cleanses, which I do 3 times during the year, inside of a more intense program that is 21 days of 5 days exercise a week, I usually encourage people to stop eating sugar, dairy, gluten, alcohol, because those are the 4 ingredients that usually create more inflammation. And during this process, when you're craving it, what I tell them is, like, if you start craving something, let's say you want the chocolate, you want your ice cream, right? Don't say no. Say, I'm going to have it later. So you're not completely negating it. You're not completely extremely controlling yourself from not having it. And then if it's still later you feel like it, then do it. The chances that you will feel like it are very minimal, because you're probably going to start thinking about doing something else that is going to satisfy that craving. So for your friend, kind of the same idea. You can work with that mindset of, oh, well, maybe I feel like it now, but let me do it later. Let me do something else that is on the healthy side. And then if I still feel like it, I will do it. Does that make sense? Does that help?
Yeah, I think that helps a lot of people. And I'm thinking about impulse control. It's something mm-hmm. that we beat mm-hmm. ourselves up over. And it isn't easy. It is, in my experience, something that it's locked into through nutrition. So it is something that if your body's craving energy, then it's looking for what it knows has the fastest amount of energy, and that often comes from the 4 things that you mentioned. You know, it's going to whip the body.
Uh-huh. That's right. And just on that note, because you mentioned it before and I didn't really answer that part of the question, when you said about people going on that mental guilt trip, right, when they actually fail on their goals. And also, of course, that is very common. And I think what is happening in that case is that we are listening to the mind too much, and we are listening to the mind and the negative thoughts, and we are engaging in them. And again, those things are normal. But what I would suggest in that case is, again, coming back to that other creation of yourself that, right, you are imagining that you want to be, and staying plugged in to that part and unplugging yourself from the thoughts of feeling guilty or feeling that you're failing or feeling that you cannot do this. And trying to connect with the thoughts of, I can do this. This is, you know, how much weight I want to lose. This is how many, you know, whatever schedule you have created for yourself in exercise and anything else that you have planned. And just unplugging from that negative thinking and plugging yourself into the positive one. I know it's easier said than done, but we have that power to say, no, I don't want to go there, and don't engage on those thoughts and going into the other ones, on the other direction.
Very good advice, because it's hard, it's difficult to do if the muscle, the mental muscle, mm-hmm. is not developed, and that takes time. So even just being gentle with yourself and saying, like you said, it's okay, you didn't do it this time, we're going to try again. I think that's really important.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's a sense of compassion and self-love. So I'm curious, and I want you to share, what made you decide to embark on this business? And I know you're passionate about it, so share your story. Why are you here? Why do you do this?
Well, you know, since I was very, very young, I was a kid, I knew I wanted to help people. It was this deep desire. I didn't know how. And at first I thought I wanted to become an ophthalmologist because I was wearing glasses since I was 3 years old. So I wanted to find a cure for my disease. And then I went into physical therapy. I wanted to become a physical therapist. And when I moved to New York from Spain, where originally I'm from, if you haven't noticed, I have an accent.
Got it.
I just by chance, I actually met a trainer. I started working with him. And in about 3 months, working out half an hour a week for 30 minutes, my body changed dramatically. I grew up a size. I was feeling that my posture improved, and I was beating for the first time my dad at tennis, and we got played since I was a kid. So my body changed in a way that I was not imagining it with that kind of a small, you know, commitment. And I was completely turned around, and I am a nurse by training. I started nursing back in Spain, so I was going in that direction of helping people. But conventional medicine never kind of fit what I think is a holistic approach to helping people with their health. So I was kind of running away a little bit from that, and finding something like this was perfect for me. I was a convert, and I started to become, you know, trained into being a personal trainer. I follow nutritional studies. I became a coach, and I've been continuing growing and developing different techniques and practices that I have been added to my practice, because I just feel like there's so many other things that you can do before, you know, we go to conventional medicine. And sometimes it's necessary, I agree. But in other cases, we work with people that have diabetes type 2, that have high cholesterol, that have high blood pressure. And guess what? After a little bit of exercise and a little bit of good nutrition, it's gone. They're back to normal. So,
interesting,
you know,
isn't it?
If you can, yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
So instead of going, right, and poisoning yourself with a pill or something that you know is going to have secondary effects, why not start
right
here? You know, that's why I'm doing this. I love getting people in that first step, you know, roadmap to their health.
You and I have such complementary practices that, I mean, when we talk, we're like a couple of, I noticed we're like a couple of butterflies. Oh, and this too, and this too. And our time has gotten away from us. We're already at the 27-minute mark for our interview, and I wish we had another half hour, but we don't. So what I want to say is I know people have been listening in, and just as they may want to reach out to you and find out more about you, do you have anything for our listeners today, and how best can they contact you?
Yes. By the way, yes, I could be here another half an hour. Time really went fast. So thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And yes, you can contact me at mindfulonlineworkouts.com. On the homepage, you will see a place where you can book now an appointment. I offer free complimentary strategy sessions for anybody that is interested. And also, you can find how to get a free online workout if you want to try it. It's also on the homepage. You can just click there and schedule it. We offer strength training, yoga, and Pilates, as I was saying before, and you can try them all for free. And again, the website is Mindful Online Workouts.
Beautiful. And just in case you didn't catch that, you're driving in the car, whatever, we're going to have those details in our show notes on the page, so we'll make sure that we have that information shared. But I wanted to say thank you so much for being a guest here. Any last thoughts on motivation and or even sexiness that you want to include as a message for today's show?
Yeah, just a couple of quick things. One is for we're spending a little bit more time sitting down these days. I will tell to everybody, just put a timer on your desk and try to stretch every hour. So just stand up, even if it's for a minute or two, but just stretch, breathe, close your eyes, whatever helps you to feel more connected with yourself. And I would say if you can, go outside, you know, and just breathe some fresh air as much as you can. If you have a park that you can go to, even if it's walking around your house, just go outside and definitely try to get a little bit of that nature in you. Those are my two last thoughts, Eva.
Beautiful. I love it. And both of all of those things help to reduce overall inflammation. And I am going to, and I'll use you too, take advantage of the online workout. Absolutely. That sounds like a lot of fun. So thank you again, Anna, for being here. Really appreciate you being with us today. So
thank you so
we're
much.
Gonna,
I really enjoyed
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah, maybe sometime in the future we can do it again, because I'm sure there's going to be more as we go back to the workplace, as things change, and we'll get to dig in more. So special thanks to all of our listeners as well, both in the U.S. and international. We are an international show. And we'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show. We're on at Mondays and Fridays, Monday at 9 a.m., Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific time. So you can tune in live, or, of course, you can find us on iTunes and other places throughout the internet, as well as the Connected Women of Influence website. It's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. Thank you for listening and have a great weekend. This is Eva Venari, founder of the Elevate Institute, reminding you to question everything.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.